League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, live from Prime Social. Well, at noon, you've got the tournament going on. It is a you want to play at Lance's table, because if you knock him out, you win $100. You knock him out of the tournament. And trust me, that's easy to knock Lance
Simple.
Out of the tournament.
Come on and just take the money.
Come get some.
Just come and get the
come
chip.
Come get some. You think you can do
I
it?
I mean, last time there was there were 1-3 against me. The last guy at the final table took me out, but they went 0-3 before then, so, I mean, you know.
They put you all in and you beat them?
Yeah, or I put them all in.
Biz notches.
Well, I mean, come on.
All right, let's go. All right, let's get some calls in here. David wants to talk on the radio. Hey, David, how are you?
Hey, morning, guys. I enjoy the commentary on Harden, and I completely agree with you. I'm glad they're not giving out the MVP trophy next week, because I think that would give the Warriors more more incentive, but Lance, you've been saying this from the beginning of the year, and I wanted to weigh in on Barkley's comments, because he is kind of a caricature and comical, but his analysis is exactly, it's very lazy. And the Sports Illustrated article that came out last week really kind of goes in depth about D'Antoni's system. And you, like you've been saying this all year, that, you know, Morey's acquisitions of Mute, Tucker, you know, Green, allow those guys to switch onto for defensive purposes, and they're not expending a lot of energy on offense just because of D'Antoni's system. And I think that is a key to being able to neutralize Thompson and Curry. And just your comments on that, because I really don't think that Harden and Paul have to score 30 every game for the Rockets to win. I think the key is going to be their defense with the long guys like Mute, Tucker, and being able to switch on Curry and you know, not as much Durant, but definitely Curry and Thompson.
So this summer, one of the things, and this is more on my podcast, I guess, because I wasn't on the radio, but one of the things that I said why I thought Carmelo was such a bad fit for the Rockets is because he doesn't defend and he doesn't play and he doesn't rebound. And those are two elements the Rockets really needed to get better at. And if people pointed to the score and he's another scorer, you're not going to out-Warriors the Warriors. That's not how you beat them. If you want to beat the Warriors, you have to get better defensively and you have to get tougher. But one of the things the Rockets picked up on is the ability to have longer multi-positional players who could switch. That is so critical because you don't leave players. You're always closing out players. You're always keeping your space next to a player. You're always crowding the space when you can switch. Now, you have to have defenders who are long enough and versatile enough to defend different types of players. You have to have some dog in you, too, to be tough enough to switch off on a bigger player and hold your ground. Chris Paul has – you know what the Rockets will do late? They'll intentionally – like they did this to Ingles the other day. They would come and they would and Trevor Ariza would come over and make a quick pick on James's defender, and as soon as Ingles switched, he would immediately take off because they just were isolating certain matchups that they wanted. The Rockets now can do that offensively, and James is almost always going to have the advantage. However, defensively, they found that if you switch them off, PJ Tucker can guard a couple different positions. Chris Paul has enough dog in him. James is putting in enough effort. Trevor Ariza can guard multiple positions. So, yes, that's been huge, is that they're not giving wide-open jumpers. If you try to fight over picks like we were taught in high school, climb over the pick, fight over the pick, call screens, Remember on the pick and roll with the Utah Jazz, everything was about, are they going to go over the screen with John Stockton? Are they going to go under the screen? And same thing with Steve Nash, and let Steve Nash have an open three-pointer if you try to go under the screen. Now they're just, and the Knicks used to always trap it at half court. They would trap it and run you up the court with Van Gundy as coach, which was a smart move. Well, the Rockets now have figured out, we're just going to switch it, and you're not going to get easy looks off the screen and roll. And that being, that ability to switch it has just paid so many dividends defensively. Now, if they were really weak defensively, then you switch it and you get beat by mismatches. But the Rockets aren't getting beat by it. Karl-Anthony Towns switches didn't even matter. Like, because even when they switched Chris Paul onto Karl-Anthony Towns, even when they tried to post him up, A, Chris would fight him, but then B, the Rockets would double. So they said, okay, and when you try to take advantage of a low post player on a switch, we're going to double you hard, and Karl-Anthony Towns couldn't beat him with passing. So now the Warriors are a different breed. The Rockets are basically a mirror version of the Warriors. They're just built a little grittier, that's all. And they don't have the same shooters. Like, the Rockets are not the same shooters as the Warriors. So they're going to have to win with defense. But I do think they are uniquely built to beat the Warriors because they are tougher. Like, this is, in general, this team is pretty tough. And one area that Steph Curry didn't like is when Matthew Dellavedova was all up in his face, he didn't like it. Now, they eventually adjusted. But this stat, I was looking at this. You mentioned Charles Barkley. I looked at the playoff stats. The Rockets are averaging less than 10 turnovers per game. This is 10 playoff series games.
Right.
9.7 turnovers a game. They're forcing 14.3, I think, per game. You're at almost a plus 5 per game. And I looked at their field goal percentage defensively. Isn't great. Jazz made a decent amount of three-point shots, again, percentage-wise. I'm thinking, well, how are the Rockets doing this? There it is, extra possessions.
Yeah.
The Warriors are going to – the Warriors will give you the ball. They'll turn it over some. But you really do – I think that's where Chris Paul's really – we don't talk about that much. You let James have it in his hands all the time, those turnovers are going up. Chris Paul, not going to turn it over.
It would have been a lot lower if James wasn't getting crazy in game four, I think. He just started throwing the ball against the Jazz. He just started throwing the ball all over the place again.
In the second half,
Then they had a lead, and it was just like, what the hell, James? Stop. You know what? You're getting crazy again, getting crazy James again. And don't care about the ball, James, again. No, they've got and they've done an unbelievable job. It was so funny. After the first round, Charles goes, yeah, but the Rockets, they just turned the ball over too much. And Ernie, right after Ernie goes, well, they had the fewest turnovers of any team in the first round of the playoffs. Oh, well, that you know, they do turn the ball
over. That's a misleading.
What?
That can be a misleading stat.
No, it's not. It's not a misleading stat. They've done a wonderful job protecting the basketball, and they're going to have to continue to do that. 713-780-3776. We had Shazam call in, Del?
Shazam.
Well, Shazam, what?
Shazam.
I've told you. It wasn't Shazam. Shazam.
Well, is that like a cousin?
I don't know. I didn't ask for his heritage.
Shazam!
Look how close the Rockets are. Warriors averaging 110.3 points per game in the postseason. The Rockets 109.5. Warriors allowing 101.6. Rockets allowing 100.1. It's basically a dead even heat. That's what I'm saying. This is a very good 1-2 matchup. This is a very close matchup. You should be more excited Monday. You should be very excited about the possibilities of the Rockets getting to the Western getting to the NBA Finals, because I think it's not Warriors minus 170. To me, this is small favorite Warriors because they've been there, done that. But I think this home court advantage is a big deal. Look, Rockets fans get there an hour in advance and are loud the entire time, always wear their T-shirts, and there's never empty seats. We know that.
Yeah. No, we know that's the case.
We know that's the case. They're always in their seats super loud, and it's always packed at every second of the game.
Yeah. And? That's what listen, we've been waiting we've been pacing ourselves as a fan base.
That's all it is. We've been pacing.
Pacing.
Yeah.
And now this is it. Okay, this is the series – where everybody gets there about, you know, 5 minutes into the
You mean they go faster?
Yeah, a little faster.
Hey, guys, it's okay. It's okay to be
– I don't care.
To have a couple pops by 10 minutes before the game. It's okay to get there early enough that you can have a couple drinks before.
It's okay. And now, it's okay to show up when you show up. It's just show up when you show up. Yeah,
we'll just be loud.
Yeah.
Be loud in the
game.
Go
crazy.
Make Utah, and I did think the Rockets got I thought the Rockets got really loud in the last game, Rockets fans. Yeah. You do want – that home court advantage needs to matter.
Oh.
Rockets a good road team. That home court advantage needs to matter.
You know what else Houston is good for? It's a good car city. I know – because John Clay Wolf is up in Dallas.
Not a lot of people taking the L around. Not a lot of mass transit going on in Houston.
No, the death train? With the death rail? No, a lot of people ain't taking the death
rail. The one that just goes in a straight line, right? Like, yeah, can it go somewhere else?
John Clay Wolf joining us right now in a city that knows nothing about basketball. He is with us here on ESPN 97.5. John Clay Wolf, what's up?
Just driving through the line at Starbucks. You guys want anything?
Yes, we want something. Flat white. Get it here in a hurry. John Clay Wolf. Here on ESPN 97.5. So what's going on in the car world this week?
Oh, just same old stuff. Still, you know, the sports cars, the Wranglers, the summer cars are still bringing all the money. The junk has really faded off. And good trucks are bringing a little more than they should. So we're really angling on those. But, you know, we bought 300 cars this week and just busy. Have you heard our commercial? I think it's our new endorsement deal that I made. Have you heard our latest endorsement commercial?
No. Is it? It's so easy you can do it in your underwear?
No, it's Jesus Christ himself is our endorsement announcer.
Oh, gosh. That sounds a bit blasphemous, but okay. All right. Oh, my.
55 Jesus. 55 Two Sweet Lowe's Double Cup.
55
Place. We're going to double cup that. Thanks. Yeah, it's placed on your station. It's really good.
Wait a minute.
There were some people that were arguing about it. I was like, who has the rights? Who has the rights, you know? Does Joel Osteen have the rights? No. He sure does make a lot of money on it, though. But I'm willing to share it with whoever. Maybe we can get a church charity involved or something. Yeah, it's a gig commercial, but it's pretty funny. It's playing on your station.
All right. Well, we'll have to see if Jesus is your spokesman now for GiveMeTheVin.com. It's so easy. Jesus can do it. The whole thing. I don't know about it. GiveMeTheVin.com. GiveMeTheVin.com. What did you order again?
Venti Pike, Two Sweet and Lowe's Double Cup. Just black coffee with sugar and not their flimsy-ass cups that doesn't spill on me.
Yeah, I got you. All right, there it is. You got John Clay Wolf's order from Starbucks and Jesus.
Show in the morning.
And GiveMeTheVin.com.
Thank you.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, live from Prime Social. We're at
7801 Westheimer.
7801 West.
West of Hillcroft, Voss.
Right, the first light.
And I told you,
west.
Hillcroft is the gritty side. That's my side. Voss is the fancy side.
Yeah.
Where you have dog, like you can get special custom dog treats on the Voss side. You can get your burrito bowls and everything. My side is shawarma. My side is tikka masala. That side is like, oh, there's Ronnie Killen's STQ, which is good.
Regal's have you gone up there? I was just going to ask you.
Yeah,
that.
It's good.
How about Dell?
The Dell? No, and everyone says it's great for
the
families and kids. Yeah, and
Arturo Bellotta's
also.
Good.
There's an Italian place that's good that I've been to, too. But that's where Regal's Bar. You've been to Regal's, right?
I have not.
Oh, my God. Regal's is the truth. It's right next to Ronnie Killen's place.
Yeah.
STQ. They got the best, I swear to God, on my children, the best sandwich I've ever had.
Really?
Is there a pastrami? Yes, their pastrami sandwich is the best sandwich I've ever had. And I've had sandwiches in Portland, New York, Chicago. You got to go have. I mean, if you like barbecue, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Which
pastrami barbecue?
It's pastrami, yeah, smoked pastrami with the sauerkraut. And
I'm not a big sauerkraut.
I think it's maybe it's not. I don't know, but anyway, you can get it on. They've done it on the bone.
What's it
too.
Called? The place?
Ragel's.
Ragel's.
Yeah, it's right. It was in Texas Monthly's 50 top barbecue places.
Wow.
Oh, beef ribs are awesome.
Well, I'm all about the Mara, so okay.
No. Hey, look. I go to a lot of different barbecue places. Houston has really stepped its barbecue game up over the last decade.
You ever go to the Pit Room?
I've heard a lot of great things about Pit Room. That was also on the top 50 really list. I've heard it's really good. Yeah.
Okay, I got a question for you. Yep. Oh, wait, we got Tony that wants to talk here on the radio. Let's get him in here. Hey, Tony.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
What are you saying?
Good, Tony. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to ask a question. Did you guys, because Charles Barkley keeps harping on playing defense and how bad he hates the Rockets. I always figured Charles Barkley was the reason why we didn't get to play Chicago the year we played Utah in the Western Conference Finals. That shot that Stockton hit, that's what I'm recalling.
Uh-huh.
On that play, if you go back and look at that tape, Charles didn't push his pick out far enough to where Stockton got a very good open look. Shouldn't have been playing the game because Houston were up by 17, but he keeps hopping on defense.
It's so true. Charles was one of the laziest defenders.
You would think that in that situation that he wouldn't be, you know, in the final seconds of a Western Conference final.
It was kind of like when Calvin talks about you got to move past the ball better, and Rudy T used to talk about defense. Like, oh, man, you guys are buying in now that you're not playing anymore.
Yeah.
But Charles is the same way. Defense. Charles was the lazy defender, and he's exactly right. It is – Charles was not a good defender, and I know what he's talking about because you got to push – the picker, you got to set him up even higher. You got to push him physically up higher. Although, who was it? That was Malone, I think, who set that pick.
Well, hello.
All right.
What the hell?
We're back. See, Dell, you pushed a Danny – there, you pushed a Brandon Wheaton button.
No. He didn't no.
Oh.
It's my boy. Don't be Brandon Wheaton.
Got a lot of W's waiting for you if Brandon Wheaton comes in, Dell.
No. That was the Dante Foreman button. That was the Alfred Blue button. All right, stop pressing it. That was the Braxton Miller button. Okay, speaking of which, I think mine is going to be different than yours. The Texan rookie draft pick that is going to make the biggest impact this year.
Justin Reed.
I don't think so.
You think it's going to be Kiki?
I think it's going to be Jordan Akins because he's going to get – he will have a chance. Now – QT will be on the field. I'm afraid that
you think
Andre
will play?
I think Justin will play, but I think he's the third guy right now with Matthew.
Do you think Jordan will play?
I think Jordan will
because
play.
Because that's going to be Ryan Griffin's minutes off the bat, I would think.
Yeah. And well,
or minutes, reps.
How many times? Yeah, but in the course of a game, you're going to use more than one tight end.
They don't use – Steven Anderson is the pass-catching tight end, so I don't know. I don't know that Akins – I mean, they drafted him pretty early. Third round is pretty early, so we'll see. One thing that was on tape that I thought was – you know, there's some teams who said, ooh, he's got a little shaky character, so I don't know all the stuff there. And he has 20 –
I don't mind that.
He's also 26 years old, which is something that's a little bit like, whoa, you got a 26-year-old in the third round? But one of the things that does show up about him on tape is he can get open. Like, this guy's got a little juice. So I think he's kind of interesting. When I watched him at Senior Bowl, I thought, oh, this guy's a little more interesting than I thought. And then I kind of tucked him away because teams told me, nah, he's got some issues or whatever. He won't go until late in the day three. And then he went in the third round. But talent-wise, and I don't mind taking some chances on players that other people won't, as long as they're not criminals. Or they're not going to hurt your chemistry in the locker room.
Well,
you can get away from them.
You need some criminals, I think.
I don't know that you need criminals,
per
se.
I think so. All right, well, that's your team, and I got my team.
Roger and I don't agree with you, my friend Roger.
Yeah.
Who they stamped a check that says Roger on it, I think. Well, I don't know who does checks anymore. But I do know this. I think that Justin Reed will play very quickly. Although Andre Howell does have a way of finding a football.
He does.
Well, he's a good playmaker.
He did. He's lost a lot of that the last couple of years.
You think?
Yes. He doesn't – I don't know. He had a nose for the ball.
I feel like he still has it, but maybe you're right.
That certainly – last year, okay. The year before, not at all. He really fell off after you're like, whoa, Andre Hal seems to be around the ball and a nose for the football. He's lost some of that nose. Another Tony is here, wants to talk on the radio. Hey, Tony.
Yeah, I'm the Tony that destroyed that old fart for not liking a Marvel movie yesterday. but I had a question regarding the Rockets. This is just to say hypothetically they lose after game six or something. How are you guys going to be talking about James Harden at that point in time? Because it just seems like, it's, you know, I'll preface this by saying, like, he seems like a nice guy and everything, but when it comes to elimination games, whether it's Houston eliminate knocking somebody out or Houston potentially being knocked out, it just seems like James Harden's absent. I don't know where his head's at, or I don't know if he needs to see a psychologist or what, but
I don't know.
Well,
that
the question, wait a minute. The question is, how is he going to play? Is he going to disappear like he did against the Spurs, or is he going to play really well and they're going to lose?
Well, he's saying he usually doesn't play well.
Well,
in
I know he usually
games.
Doesn't, but how is Either he going to? I think his legacy
his assumption
is going to be is going to depend on how he plays.
Tony, what you're saying is, how are we going to talk about him if he plays poorly in a game six where you're eliminated in Golden State?
He hung up.
Right.
Well, if he plays poorly in a game six and in another elimination game, then he's going to be elimination James again.
It's going to be just another, you can't trust this guy, just another, you know, postseason flop for James, if that's what it is. But we do have to see him play. We do have to see him play. I think it is, the team is uniquely set up to be less dependent. Even though James scores a bunch of points, they're still dependent upon him. But they're a little less so this year because they play defense. Like, James can have a bad game, and they can still win a game. That was not possible for most of the playoffs in the past, except that Clippers game, which, ironically, Chris Paul was part of the choke that the Clippers had. But we saw Chris Paul help them eliminate Utah when James wasn't feeling well, didn't play well, whatever the case may be. And so this year, I mean, you finally have a team where you can win with defense. You can win with Chris Paul stepping up and taking over the lead scorer role. It does give you a chance to advance on. And Torrey Andrews, who was listening to the show, made a good point. You know, Dirk was a great player his whole career. Dirk caught a championship over LeBron. Didn't do anything really after that. It didn't matter. Once Dirk got that chip, it was over. Dirk will go down as one of the great players and yada, yada, yada. And I don't think Dirk was ever known as a choke artist in the playoffs. I don't recall that narrative. But if James can get a title, a lot of this stuff will go away. A lot of it goes away. And once you get that title, it's just such a big deal. If James plays poorly in a game where they are eliminated, There is no other
narrative.
Possible narrative than here we go again.
This is what James is.
Yeah.
Because there's a big enough sample
that
size.
That sample
now.
Size is huge if that happens.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776-829.
And James seems like a nice enough guy.
Well,
seems like a great basketball player.
Yeah. Men's T Clinic seems like a great place to get testosterone.
Tell you what, you want to be Mr. Nice Guy, how about you go get that testosterone level up where it is, and you can be in your gym like, here, let me show you how to lift this weight, because now my T levels are up. And then you see how that works, Andre? You're all yoked up from upper body. He gets his upper body work in.
Andre's about steroids. He's not about
testosterone. No, he's a young guy with good testosterone levels, what he is. Mm. If the testosterone level drops, you need to get it back to where it used to be, and you will see some of the same results. Physically is a big part of it, but also mentally, your mental acuity, your energy level, all of that is very dependent upon your testosterone level. And if you don't have it where it needs to be, then you are not working with a full tank of gas. Get the gas tank full by going to Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic, four locations in the Houston area. They test you. They get results same day within minutes. They can even treat you same day. They will work with your insurance company to get your treatments paid for. Go to menstclinic.com to find one of the four locations nearest you, Heights, Cypress, Pearland, and also Pasadena, menstclinic.com.
Still let me breathe. Will you be there for me? If I can make
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, nice.
Not nice.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, live from Prime Social. 7801 Westheimer. Just off Hillcroft, that first light, Stony Brook. That first light west of Hillcroft on Westheimer. Right on the corner, beautiful facility, and you got the poker tournament starting at noon. So you're not working this afternoon.
Big standalone building, so yeah, no, come on out. Steve says this on Twitter. What do you think of this? Hearing how unstoppable the Warriors are kind of reminds me of USC Texas championship pregame scenario. Remember how much of an unstoppable force USC was supposed to be in 05? I feel like that's very accurate. We're hearing the same thing. It's like just a default that, yep, they're unbeatable. Yeah, but you got two really good teams. Yeah, but one of them is like a force of nature based on the previous year. Well, Remember that previous year?
Well, they were talking about that USC team as the greatest team ever.
Yeah.
Ever. And then Vince.
There's a lot of hype. There's and a then, lot. Vince, then. Harden, same thing?
No.
Oh, what, Dell? No. Del has, oh, Dell's talking. What's,
what?
Why what, don't you
Raheel?
See?
Go ahead, Raheel. Vincent, pick up the mic. Go
Vincent,
ahead.
Vincent.
Go ahead.
What Dell? What, well, why don't you think Vince is Dell?
Which Rocket is the transcendent James. Player?
James Harden. James Harden.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Kind of is.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
No, he's not.
Okay. Would James Harden call Harold Arnold? No. Okay.
I don't know what that means.
During the draft, it's not good. Vince seemed to
Vince, remember
struggled
Vince,
with the.
You didn't see this
with
Vince read the
Harold Landry.
Yeah, Arnold Landry. What Vince? What
it wasn't.
Anyway, let's get Dustin in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Dustin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Man, I gotta tell you, I don't get paid no money to say this, but I've been out there to Prime, and it is. Literally everything you guys have said. That place is super nice.
Yeah, it really is.
It really is. I haven't been to the. I've been to one other poker facility, and this just blows it away.
Right.
I mean, I don't know about the other ones.
I wish
Post
we
Oak
had these
nice.
Chairs for our. Our wish studio? We had these chairs for our studio.
Yeah, that would be nice.
These are just normal chairs. These are the sweet chairs they have at the table. So
no, they put a lot of money into this.
And you know who's awesome? The king of this place, legitimately, Dustin. You probably, if you've been here, you've probably seen Rafer Alston. Because Rafer's also, it's me and Rafer, the guys that, next time you'll have a bounty on you when you're not headed out. But Rafer is like the king of this place. Everyone knows Rafer. Everyone loves Rafer. He's always in a good mood even when he's getting busted out, which isn't a lot. Rafer's pretty good.
No, Rafer's a good player. You want to talk about the Rockets, too?
Yeah, man. I've played basketball for about my whole life, but I honestly think that we have more firepower than the Warriors do, you know, down the lineup. And I think if we can do anything defensively to sort of gain an edge on their starters, because I think they have a little bit of an edge as far as starters go, I think down the bench and as far as all of our three-point shooters, I think we have more scorers that can make plays happen and score. You know, and as long as their starting five doesn't, you know, blow out our starting five, I honestly think we have – the advantage down the stretch. Now, we don't really have an answer for Durant, but, you know, I think they don't have an answer for a lot of things that we do as well offensively. So just curious what you guys think about that.
I think that
– I'm never going to say more firepower than the Warriors. I'm never going to say that.
They are – the Warriors have four of the six best players on the floor. Four of the six best come from one side, and they're all good scorers. They can all score. Now, as far as depth goes, I agree with you. You know what they're bringing, West or Looney or Bell or Livingston or Cook off the bench. I don't even know that Nick Young is going to play. We'll see. I don't know if Pachulia is going to play. I love the Rockets bench is better. There's no question about it. But now here's the deal. Eric Gordon's got to play better. Eric Gordon's got to shoot.
He had his game with game three.
Yeah.
Which really, you know, in a way, it set that – it pushed Utah over the edge because it was like, ooh, 1-1. This isn't great.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, bang, Eric Gordon went off in the first – I want to say it was the first quarter he started banging in shots. And you realize they're done. Utah's done this game, and then it just carried over.
How deep does the bench go? I don't think Nene's going to play
a big
role.
Ryan Anderson will have to be the player. Ryan's going to come in. Nene will probably not play much at all this series. Ryan and Eric Gordon, you know, this is a chance for Ryan Anderson to wash away all the jokes. If Ryan Anderson can come in and hit some threes, I mean, boy, that would be huge. He and Eric Gordon, they were big parts of it last year. And then this year, it's just been like, Eric's still been solid. Ryan has just been almost a throwaway player.
I don't know if Eric's been solid, actually.
Well, he was solid for much of the year. Tailed off.
This postseason, yeah. Bamute, I think he's going to go Bamute, Eric Gordon.
Green is your heat check.
Gerald Green. I don't know that Ryan Anderson's playing a role. I think he just
It depends on how they match up with you. You might be right. But I think you can play Ryan Anderson with Draymond. If they try to go Draymond big, Ryan Anderson at least will pull Draymond away from the basket.
And he'll grab some rebounds.
Yeah.
And Ryan Anderson's a better rebounder than I think they use credit.
Yeah. I wouldn't just write off Ryan Anderson as a potential guy off the bench this series. I don't think he didn't make much sense in the first series. I guess you could have made a case for him last series, but I'm saying not as a power forward, almost as a backup for Clint Capela. So how many minutes are you actually going to get?
I just would have matched him up. Two white guys, Joe Ingles.
You would think that you would just match up.
White guys.
Yeah, you would go white on
slow
white.
White, yeah.
Aussie on wherever Ryan Anderson's from. I don't know. Maybe he's from New Zealand. I don't know.
I don't care.
Idaho, New Zealand. It's something.
New Zealand, it's far. Let's get Patrick in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, guys. So I just wanted to talk about the Rockets-Warriors series. Listen, I know I'm in the Houston market, but I don't see this series going six games. I don't see, you know, the last caller said about how they have up and down, they have more firepower. I mean, I think that's such a ludicrous statement. The bench is shortened in the playoffs, and if you're banking on Ryan Anderson doing anything for you, I mean, series over.
Yeah, I think we're just talking about would he play. It would be nice to get some threes from Ryan, but you haven't really been banking on him to do anything this year, and they still won
games. You like, Patrick, you like the Rockets in five?
No.
What?
Warriors in five.
Oh, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Nobody can guard Kevin Durant. Nobody can guard Steph Curry. If Klay Thompson shows up to even 80% of his potential, nobody on your team can guard him. The key is Draymond. He's going to kill rebounds. He's going to be that role player. He's going to be an irritant. And I don't see Capela stepping up to this challenge. You know, and Steve Kerr made a comment, you know, he's not worried about everybody saying the Rockets have an edge because his players have rings. And that's
right. What challenge does Capela need to step up to? All he does is rebound and block shots and catch lobs.
So let me ask you a question. Patrick, will you call back in Tuesday morning when the Rockets win game one?
Yeah, so here's the thing. I'll call back Tuesday morning, and we can even put a bet. No money, no tickets. We can do anything you want on game one. I say Warriors win. I will do any humiliation thing, any promotional thing you want.
Well, you don't have to humiliate yourself, sir.
Raheel wants you to get nipple rings.
No, he doesn't have to have a nipple ring, Raheel. That's too far. That's too far for a humiliation thing. It doesn't involve piercings.
Well, why?
I don't think it should. You know what he's saying about Kevin Durant? I went to Basketball Reference to disprove him on Kevin Durant's unguardable. And I'm like, I bet, you know. And then you look at his 2-point field goal percentage, 56, 60, 56, 56, 54. Then you look at his 3-point
mid-range jumpers.
Yeah, you look at his 3-point percentage, 41.9 this year, 37.5, 38.7, 40.3, 39. It's like, God bless. What about free throws? 88, 87, 89. Like, damn it.
There's nothing. Oh, the dude's the best scorer in the league. Best scorer in the
league. He's almost at the magic 50, 40, 90. But he's not quite there. Steve Nash, known as Mr. 50, 40, 90. 50% from the field, 40% from three, 90% from the free throw line. The only thing he missed this year was he shot 88.9% from the free throw line.
Well, he sucks then.
Where's his weaknesses? Turnovers per game, three, stinks.
Yeah. How many assists?
Solis is like, hang up on him.
What are you talking about? That dude, no, he's going to get a nipple ring. He is going to get a nipple ring if the
win
Rockets
or lose.
No,
I thought we were going to just make him
Rockets
get a nipple ring.
The Rockets will win game one, FYI.
You think so?
Patrick, yeah, I really do. The Rockets will win game one. I think Vegas is telling you, oh, we like the Rockets in this one.
What's the number gone to? Anything?
It was 2.5, which
is that means where it still is?
If it's going up, I can take a look at my little. Every site is different. Not
much different.
No, not that much different.
They're pretty much now wired together.
703-780-3776.
Let's take a look here.
That's the dumbest call we've ever had, I think.
I don't think the call was dumb. It was. He just made.
Oh, it's down to 1.5. Yikes.
So who you like now?
That's not a good thing. 713-780-3.
You still like the Rockets?
Yes.
You're not letting action just push you to a direction, are you?
I love the Rockets. You know what else I love? Saving money.
Well, it's two here.
You got two?
Yeah.
I got 1.5. All right, 713-780-3776 right here on ESPN 97.5.
Saving money is easy at Bill Advisor. So yesterday I had somebody come out to my house to work on something, and he listens to the show, and he started asking me about Bill Advisor. It seems like everybody, it's one of the most asked about, how does it work? And I say, well, basically, they just get to customer retention for you, and they push through. And I want to get some new receivers for today's satellite. I called not today's satellite. I want to get it for a DirecTV. And DirecTV is like, I called and sat on hold and went through this guy. And he goes, okay, two new receivers because one of mine is not working right. He goes, yeah, you get the upgrade and it's $198. I was like, what? Yeah, $198. No, I'll talk to you later. I'm just going to call Bill Advisor. Goodbye. Because I know Bill Advisor will get those things for me for free because that's what they do. So I'll just go through. But see, when you do it yourself, nothing. But Bill Advisor, everything. They know how to negotiate. They've been doing it for years, and they do it for homeowners, for auto insurance, for home phone, cell phone, internet, satellite, cable, energy, all of these things. They lower your bills, and they keep looking at your bills on a month-by-month basis to help keep them low. That's why you pay one low $12.99 per month fee for $150 for the year. Are you kidding me? You got watchdogs for 12 months keeping your bills low. Go to the website, billadvisor.com, or text MONEY to 232323 to get started today. Save money today with billadvisor.com.
Houston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Downloaded today by searching ESPN. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Interesting question. I think it's going to be over 80. Total number of three-pointers per game between
average?
The two teams.
Average?
It'll be less than 80.
And the guy asked Raheel if they'd get to 100 in any of the games.
No.
And there's
no game.
Chance.
No way.
It's so hard to get to 50. For two teams to do it, your pace has to be really hot. You have to have a lot of makes.
And
well,
you
don't.
You have to shoot it about every time, about half the time down the court.
Yeah.
A three. I think if you hit 80 in these games, that'll be a lot. If you hit 80 in these games, it'll be a lot. Number of threes. But that's the style of play that you're going to have here. Is, you know, hopefully it will be up and down, quick. Okay, do the Rockets have to slow it down to beat the Warriors?
No, I think they have to play their pace.
Well, their pace is slower.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think they have to slow it down. I think they have to play the way they play. I think the way they play has changed. It's changed because they know they can execute in the half court better now.
Well, it's funny. They average the same offensively as the Warriors. They average the same defensively, total points, as the Warriors. They're basically the same teams this postseason. Basically.
Yeah.
110 and 101. They score 110, they give up 101. And yet they play different styles.
Well, you know what's funny is 29 threes for the Warriors have become a more mid-range. Like,
yes.
It's funny, the Rockets and Warriors, who used to live and die, both teams have figured out, number one, the Rockets have one guy that shoots a lot mid-range, and it's Chris Paul. And they're fine with that. But I think Daryl Morey's learning something. You know, this is my one thing. I think Morey's a genius. But the one element that really concerns me is I always feel like mathematic people don't have a good feel for chemistry. You know, the emotional factor, which I think there's always a belief that the numbers are the numbers and that's all there is. But there are real humans who are playing. There are other factors that can have an impact. And chemistry is undeniably a factor, a huge factor. The other thing is you can't be so unwielding with your belief that the math is right here and there is no deviation from the math. Well, but what if – and then the Rockets will argue, and rightfully so, well, we let Chris Paul do this because he's really efficient at it. Like, he makes a lot of mid-rangers. But it should also open your mind to the fact that there's not just one way to win. Like, you can tweak things. You can change the ingredients or change your recipe a little bit to win. It's like that in every sport. The Astros, Jeff Leno said – which I thought was kind of brilliant. When he wasn't good enough, he said, let's just hit a bunch of home runs and we'll strike out a lot. But wait a minute, that's not a sabermetric. Sabermetric is putting a ball in play.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? Because we can't. Because we got to win a different way. We got to try to hit a bunch of home runs. It's the only way we're going to do it. And then he transitioned to a different, you know, to a more stable sabermetric method. With the Rockets, you can shoot a ton of threes, but they don't make a ton of – I mean, they don't have a great field goal percentage from three. They don't shoot it like the Warriors. So it's nice to have a guy like Chris Paul who can – I think the one element – you know why Utah used to be great with Stockton? Because John Stockton could get you a good shot inside the last 6 seconds of a shot clock. He'd get you a great-looking shot. You know why Steve Francis and that Rockets team was so embarrassing? Because they were an atrocity late in the shot clock. The jump up, spin around, look for somebody to pass to, throw it into row four was awful. This Rockets team, James can get to the bat. Now, I hate the step back. When you know that he's just dribbling out top, wasting time before he steps back and shoot a three, sometimes it's no, 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 yes when he hits it.
But a lot of time, listen, I think he wastes so much shot clock. And
not all the time,
I don't think
he can.
James is great at late in the shot clock. If you want to.
I do whenever he's penetrating. But if he's just defaulting to his threes, I hate it. But what Chris Paul does, Chris Paul can get you a good look at the basket late in the shot clock. And that's something James couldn't do, something Patrick Beverley couldn't do. Patrick Beverley was a non-factor as a penetrator and creator. And there's such a huge upgrade that the Warriors – I mean, the Warriors used to be going against Corey Brewer, Pat Beverley, Josh Smith, Trevor Ariza. Like, these guys are not creators off the bounce. Eric Gordon can create off the dribble, which is why he needs to play well.
James
can create off the dribble, and Chris Paul. There are three guys who can create. And, frankly, Gerald Green, although his chances of him dribbling inside the three before he launches one are not good anymore.
Dude,
he can. I've seen him do it before.
Gerald Green will take a shot. He takes shots with 22 seconds left on the shot clock. Okay.
Gerald Green plays it like
runs
the old.
Up and throws
I
it
mean,
up.
He would have loved. You know who would have loved him was the old Loyola Marymount or the Doug Moe teams that just like, get it up, shoot.
Paul
I mean,
Westhead.
He is launching. Yeah, the Paul Westhead teams. But I think Daryl Morey maybe has learned this chemistry thing's kind of a big deal. And also, this mid-range thing is not the worst thing in the world. Now, math does win. You have to be able to shoot threes nowadays or you can't go deep. You just can't. You got to have shooters on your team.
Well, let's see.
You got to have home run hitters, too, in baseball, right?
Yep. Yep. Well, let's see. Hey, it's Mother's Day this Sunday. What do you people think? What are you doing if you're not going to see Mark Klein today to get her that jewelry? Marky Mark is joining us right here on ESPN 97.5. What's up, Marky Mark?
Hey, good morning, John. Oh, man, it's great to hear from you. You know, it is Mother's Day. We are taking care of all your listeners. They come in. It's the best deal in the city of Houston. Don't go to the mall. Don't go to some half-price sale. You can call us on the phone for a quote over the phone on diamonds. Nobody else does that. We do all custom CAD designs, so we make it from pictures. If you have pictures of anything you want, we can get it done. We can get it done for Mother's Day. We do it right there in the store. Everything is done. So you want a heart pendant, you want a diamond cross pendant, you want a diamond pendant, diamond earrings, diamond bracelets, anything you want in jewelry, we do it for less than anyone else in the city. Our prices are great. Been doing it for years. Anything in jewelry, anything in loose diamonds, anything in custom engagement ring, whatever you want in jewelry, give us a call. 832-316-1388. 832-316-1388. And we're located at 5868 Westheimer at Fountain View. We've been there for 3 years. We've been in Houston since 1969. Obviously, we're doing something right.
Absolutely, every single time. KleinsJewelry.com, right there, Westheimer and Fountain View. You know him. Mark, he's going to take care of you. Get there today for Mother's Day. It's Klein's Fine Jewelers.
Reach on, brother.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.